Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I don't know. Today, I sit here, and obviously on Mondays, we don't have a show, Monday Night Football from 7 to 11. I'm doing updates for Afternoon Drive. I sit there, and towards the end of my show, I'm starting to, you know, all right, let's put together some of tomorrow's show, right? Let's see if we get any ideas sparked in the brain. Let's see if we can get some of this knocked out early. We like to work smarter, not harder around here, okay? So while we're already in the building, we already have the Browns and everybody else on our mind. We started to plan out the show. We had a good chunk of the show down, probably about a half to three quarters of the show. And then today got flipped on its head right around 12:30. And I'm like, okay. And Afternoon Drive had it worse than us. Nick and JP definitely went through it worse because they were like, oh, show starts in, I don't know, an hour, not even. And we have Joe Flacco news. It was actually, I think it was around 1:30 that the news broke. They had like 30 minutes, whole show planned out. They were like, all right, scrap it. We go to Joe. But it was news that in one way, was very shocking to me that it came today. I was not expecting Joe to be traded today. I think anybody that sat there and said, I don't really think Joe Flacco could be moved on from, except for Jeff Phelps, because apparently he was on it. But, like, I'm sitting here going, they're not going to trade anybody today. All right, like, it's far too early. They're going to let Joe be the backup. They clearly made that evident by not making Shador the backup last week, which made total and utter sense that, hey, we don't think Shador's ready. Let's go to Joe. I was actually shocked by the fact that the news came through today and a little surprised. But at the same time, it took me about a minute worth of shock. And then I stepped away and went, no, this makes total sense. Right? Like, this is something that was not going to be surprising if they had traded Joe at any point this season. I was surprised it happened so early, but I was expecting Joe to be moved at some point. I mean, everything is on the table for Joe to be moved. We talked about a little bit about it last week. There was no way you were turning back to Joe Flacco, barring, oh, well, Dylan gets injured in that game, and then Dylan, obviously, somebody has to step up and play, you make Joe the backup. And then it would probably have still been the following week, we're going to turn things over to Shador, or, you know, we're going to turn things over to Bailey Zappe. There was never a reason in my mind that you were legitimately going back to Joe Flacco. You had already seen it. You put together an offense that you thought Joe was going to be able to succeed in, thought he was going to be able to protect the ball in. Did not happen, was not able to get that done, and I'm sure the turnovers had become frustrating, clearly enough to move on to the rookie quarterback. You were not putting wins on the board. There was no reason to go back to the 40-year-old. It was not going to be a logical thought in your head of, oh, well, we're, you know, dwindling down the weeks of the year. Let's just go back to Joe and see if anything's changed from the first 4 weeks that we saw. You know what the answer is going to be on that. You know the answer is going to be no. So I'm not surprised to see the Browns move on from him. It is, though, in a way, like, trading him to Cincinnati, while clearly needed some quarterback help, right? We ripped Zach Taylor a couple of times last week for the amount of faith he said he had in Jake Browning, when I think everybody else in the NFL and looking around as NFL fans are like, how on earth does somebody have faith in Jake Browning right now? That just can't be the case. Like, Jake Browning has been absolutely horrible in the time that he stepped in. So it's like you sit there. I think this week, again, he threw three interceptions. I think it was three touchdowns and three picks this week. And the Bengals did not look all that competitive against the Lions. Made it look better than it was. Like, again, I'm sitting here and it's like, yeah, everything adds up. It would make sense that they want to go and get a guy. I don't know if Joe Flacco was the guy I would have picked out, but it was certainly a name. It was something that I had said jokingly amongst my friend groups. Like, ah, you know, Cincinnati could use Joe. Could go out there and trade for Joe. And then you eventually go to Cleveland's not going to trade him to Cincy. They're not going to do the in-division thing. But I think there's a clear admission by the Browns of, if you think there's really anything left in the tank with Joe Flacco, we pretty much just tapped into it this year. Like, that's what was left of Joe. If we're willing to give him to the Bengals and say, hey, this could potentially be a move that helps you guys get your feet under you while you're waiting for Joe Burrow to come back, which is obviously still months away. Like, sure, we'll hand him over. If you thought that was going to make the Bengals significantly better, I don't think the Browns make that move. Not in the state that the AFC North is in right now. You might be 1-4. You're literally a game away from being in second place right now in the AFC North. Now the tiebreaker goes to the Bengals, whatever. But, like, you're a game away. You're a game back from where the Bengals are, being second place in the AFC North. And the Steelers being at the top, while are a better team than I think a lot of people expected, still don't look at them and have, like, this trembling fear. We're not going into this week, going even into Pittsburgh. Don't know that I think they're going to win this week. But I'm not going in with a trembling fear of, like, oh, I don't know how you're even going to put up a fight against Pittsburgh. No, I know exactly how you're putting up a fight against Pittsburgh. It's because they also have a 40-year-old quarterback, and the defense has been lackluster compared to what people thought it was going to be. There's absolutely a pathway there. So you're not scared of anybody in the AFC North. And clearly handing Joe Flacco over to the Bengals, you don't think is going to make them better. So again, there's not a ton of fear there. And I can't knock the Browns today for trading Joe and doing everything that they thought was going to be really the end result this year, probably at some point anyway. They'll tell you the idea was to win and put as many wins on the board as they can. And I do believe inside the locker room, when you talk coaches, when you talk players, the idea this year is go out and win football games. That's always the goal of your coaches, always the goal of the players, to go out there and win as many games as you can. I think if you hand some of the front office, maybe hand Jimmy Haslam a little bit of truth serum and go, you guys really doing everything in your power to win this year? I think maybe that answer comes back a little bit different than if you were to ask Kevin Stefanski or the players. You were set up to evaluate what you had at quarterback at some point. You drafted two guys. The idea was always you're probably going to play two guys this year unless one of them shows you something. It's the same thing we've been throwing out for months on months since the draft. It was going to be, okay, you're going to evaluate quarterback at some point. Even if you start with the veteran, you're eventually going to get to the rookie quarterbacks. Again, everything just got pushed along a little bit quicker here. That's all we're looking at. Joe is... I saw some people pretty much outraged by the fact that Joe was traded and traded in division. And I'm like, did we watch the same quarterback play for 4 weeks, guys? Like, what is Joe adding to this room other than a veteran presence and a guy that they named to be a captain, which was really just a byproduct of him being the starting quarterback from week one? Well, what was the thing that we were so attached to that makes that such a bad decision and makes that so you'd get so angry at the Cleveland Browns from moving on from Joe Flacco? There shouldn't really be anything there. As soon as Joe got benched, and before Joe got benched, as anybody who listens to the show regularly knows, we're done with Joe. Like, there was no way that I was sitting there even hoping, maybe Joe can come back in and spark this off. And so Joe's going to come back in, get hit in the mouth a few times, and throw a couple of short incompletions, and then we're going to be disappointed. The long ball was never there. The thing that makes Joe Flacco an actual usable quarterback in the NFL was not there, both due to a product of age and a product of he doesn't have much help, and he really doesn't have the same arm talent that it looked like he had when he was 38. I just don't have a fear. I don't even know that Joe's really walking into a better scenario with the Cincinnati Bengals right now than he was sitting with the Cleveland Browns, truthfully. Yeah, you have Jamar Chase, you have T. Higgins, you got guys that can catch the ball a little bit better than the Browns pass catchers. You also have a worse offensive line, a worse defense on the other side, and Joe's going to probably turn into Joe Flacco. Which, sure, Cincinnati might put some more points on the board. They're still going to you know, have a crazy amount of sacks totaled with Joe under center. They're still going to throw probably far too many interceptions with Joe as the quarterback. I just don't have a fear there. And really, this should be what the Browns want. This should be what Browns fans wanted to see, which was you got a decent game out of Dylan Gabriel. Now, we have obviously haven't talked since Sunday. But like, I looked at Dylan's start, and I was like, it was fine. It was good. Like, it wasn't anything that blew your socks off. Wasn't anything that was surprising. Dylan went out there and basically did everything that you thought Dylan could do. He got rid of the ball quickly. He made short completions. As soon as he tried to stretch the ball down the field, didn't look all that great. Like, Dylan was what you expected. And as long as you got the expectation from Dylan, I again turn and look at Joe, and it's like, you're really not needed. If I'm getting expected play out of Dylan Gabriel, I definitely don't need the 40-year-old veteran. At that point, it's if Dylan's not going to work out and Dylan Gabriel's not going to bring me the wins, at that point, I'd rather see Shedeur Sanders, whether he's ready or not. Because the same conversation that I had about Dylan Gabriel last week, and I said the things that Dylan eventually basically echoed the sentiment of when he was talking to the media, is exactly the same way that I have to feel about Dylan Gabriel. You give Dylan the rope, or the same way I have to feel about Shedeur. You give Dylan the rope, you allow him to play the game, you allow him to try to pick up wins and show that he's a good quarterback. But as soon as that's gone, as soon as something is gone from Dylan where you go, he's not doing what we need him to do, he's proving to me that he is not a franchise quarterback, not that he is one, there becomes a time where, whether you think Shedeur is really that ready or not, there was clearly a talent there. We all saw the talent that he had in college. You're going to have to put him on the field, and there's not going to be a perfect moment. There won't be a time where it feels like now is the perfect time to go to Shedeur Sanders. You're going to have to make that call. You're going to put him into what is probably considered a not perfect situation where he's going to have to play, but I'd rather that be the case than have the idea looming over your head of, well, just maybe this could be... Hey, this could still be Joe. Now, not that anybody wants to hear it, but Deshaun Watson certainly looms in that conversation at some point later down this line. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and act as if Deshaun doesn't exist, because he absolutely does, and there's still hundreds of millions of dollars tied into Deshaun Watson, so he's absolutely in the equation of play here. But if I had to take a guess, I would say the next move would be to go to Shedeur Sanders. Jimmy Haslam told you flat out, we're going to look to see the two rookie quarterbacks. It's something that's important to us. We want to see it. So again, Dylan doesn't live up to the billing of you're actually winning games here, or you're showing something that says, I'd love to see what you have next year. You'll probably get to Shedeur. And this was the next logical step to do there. Eliminate the veteran in the room. Eliminate the idea. And this is an Andrew Berry move, not a Kevin Stefanski move. If I'm Andrew Berry, I'm sitting there going, unfortunately, if Kevin thinks there's a chance that Joe Flacco is going to play over Shedeur Sanders, I as a GM cannot let that happen. Right, and we're supposed to be tied at the hip. We're supposed to be in lockstep. So hopefully that Kevin understands this is an idea that we're going to Shedeur Sanders. But I'm just going to take out any of the in-between that could possibly happen there. We're just going to move on from Joe. We're going to get draft capital back, and we know how much they love value. They got better value back for Joe Flacco than you probably could have hoped for when we're talking 40-year-old quarterback. You got to move up from the sixth round to the fifth round in next year's draft. You'll take that as a GM any day of the week. I'm eliminating that possibility, though, if I'm Andrew Berry. I have to. I have to see the rookie quarterbacks play. We drafted the kid. We need to see the kid play. Let's eliminate the in-between variables. Again, Dylan looked good enough. You're feeling comfortable starting him. And the next logical step is going to Shedeur. 216-474-0092. Do you agree with the Browns trading Joe Flacco today to the Cincinnati Bengals? I don't see a single problem with it. I'm all in on the trade. If you want to go ahead and trade Joe, go ahead and trade Joe. Gets us to right where we need to be talking about this team, both in this year and any time moving forward. Again, 216-474-0092. You can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. Of course, coming up at 7:40, we're going to get to the station buzz. We have our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter coming to us at 8 o'clock. Daryl Ryder will join us and give us a lowdown on his idea on the Shedeur trade as well. Dylan Gabriel's performance on Sunday. We'll get to all that. Get a grip at 9 o'clock. Plenty of Browns, a little bit of Guardians in there, Cavs in action. We got plenty to talk about today, and it is a blind tier Tuesday. That coming your way in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, 216-474-0092. Do you agree with the Browns trading Joe Flacco? We'll get to a little bit on Shedeur Sanders as well and how this impacts him. Alfonso, Todd, Kevin, Fred, I see you guys all there, and more of you can jump in here. 216-474-0092. We're getting to all of it coming up in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with you guys until 11 on The Fan.
Hey, I quite frankly just don't think Joe was getting back on the field unless it was a situation like we were presented that could have happened on Sunday, where Dylan's playing, Dylan gets hurt, Joe's asked to finish the game. And that's probably going to be it. Like, you're probably not going to roll into the week following and go, Joe Flacco's our starter. Now, Kevin's probably going to give you the old, we're not naming a starter at this point. You know, we just got to see the way the week shakes out. We're not going to make a decision on that just right here. And then you'd eventually get to Shedeur. That is just the feeling. As much as, again, I don't know that they feel Shedeur is fully ready to step into that role, I think you don't really have a choice when you come to the season and go, all right, if we're going to QB3, what other direction are you really turning in? But I want to get you guys in on this. Again, 216-474-0092. Let's go to the phones. Todd is in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
Yo, Jake. So initially I thought they didn't think this all the way through, because I'm looking at the receivers for Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's line is pretty comparable to Cleveland's, despite what other people might tell you. But then I thought about it. Is Flacco, who's the starter for Cincinnati right now?
Jake Browning. They're backup for the last couple of years. Get out of Washington.
I'm not convinced that Flacco could beat him out. So is Flacco even going to play? And if he's not going to play, or not going to play any significant time, then yeah, this worked out for the Browns. If he, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think he's going to play. I do think he's going to play, Todd. There was a report. I want to say it was Adam Schefter. I could be miscrediting in that, though, because I just saw it earlier today. Was the fact that the belief is the Bengals want Joe to get ready for Sunday to be able to play the Packers.
Okay. It still looks good for the Browns. They did it. I don't anticipate it making much of a difference one way or the other if Flacco has stayed on the team. So you might as well try and get something for him. I was grateful for the play of Gabriel. He showed himself to be what I had been saying he was all along, and I hope somehow, some way, they can get some offensive linemen so that he can play the whole year without getting what I anticipate is going to happen to him in at least a couple of those games, get body slammed a few times. So it'll work out for him. It'll work out for the Browns. And no, they need to get one more quarterback. Shedeur needs a whole year to get ready. You don't want Shedeur in the field yet.
Yeah, like, Todd, as much as I think that's an ideal situation, as always, I appreciate you making the call.
Yep.
I do think that, like, I don't think the Browns are bringing another quarterback, and I really don't think that, you know, the odd possibility that, oh, maybe they just, you know, pull Bailey Zappe up to play QB2. Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that happens for a week. Maybe. And they go down that route. I don't think so, though. Like, you'd love to hold Shedeur if he needed the whole year of development, to hold him for the year of development. And if he truly was, like, nowhere close to, if they think playing at an NFL level and all he's going to do is basically self-destruct, they won't play him this year. I don't think he's there, though. Like, I don't think Shedeur even watching him was there. I think it's great that you have time for him to develop. At the end of the day, you got 2 first-round picks next year, and one of those is looking to be probably later and later down the draft, the more and more that we see wins come out of the Jacksonville.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The Ville Jaguars, as they now sit at 4-1 after beating the Chiefs yesterday. Like, you still have two first round picks. You're probably still going to use one of those on a quarterback as long as it makes sense to you. And I'm imagining you're going to be willing to move around in the draft if you're Andrew Berry. If you have a quarterback that you really want, if you want to get to that spot, you will get to that spot. Like, Shadors has to show something this year. If he's going to do anything. Again, this move sort of opens it up for you. Joe's going to play for the Bengals. I just don't see a world in which Joe goes out and lights it up for the Bengals. I really don't. Yeah, I'm trying to find where that would be. I just don't think it's there. Let's keep the phone calls going here again. 216-474-0092. Dave is in Cleveland. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to say, it can go either way, Peyton Flacco, because we got to remember where he's coming from, the Browns. And anybody who leaves the Browns, they go on to be pro bowlers and all pros. And they got a receiving core out there. They don't got Jerry Jeudy dropping 5-yard passes, 10-yard hitch out there. They got receivers out there. So it could come back to haunt us, but it might not because he's 40. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and Dave, I appreciate you making the call. If the idea is that he looks better in Cincinnati than he does in Cleveland, guys, there's a real chance that if you go and look at the box score at the end of every Bengals game, you're going to go, that's not the Joe Flacco we were getting, and this Joe Flacco looks a lot better. Yeah, because since he's probably going to let him air the ball out a little bit, and when you have to air the ball out, I'd much rather be throwing it to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins than I would Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman. Like, that's just the breaks of it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So like, the stats will probably look better. Joe's still going to be under crazy pressure. We saw him in Cleveland not have a ton of time to throw. That Bengals offensive line's not getting him a ton of time to throw. And I just don't see Joe as being a guy who just leads them to a boatload of wins. It's not like this is the move that probably gets the Bengals back on track of where they want to be. Even when they had Joe Burrow in the game, the Bengals didn't look to be all that great of a team. We watched them and watched them play against the Browns in week one. Even the Joe Burrow-led Bengals didn't look great. Certainly better, but like, I just don't think that defense is good enough to hold up. And I certainly think when you replace Joe Burrow and then go to Jake Browning and then you go to a 40-year-old Joe Flacco, it just doesn't look incredible. Let's get one more call in here. Let's go to Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good evening. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. How are you?
Good. Similar comment to the previous caller. Mm-hmm. I just didn't hear much about from your opinion, which I value. I think it's a good move. I don't think it hurts us all that much. However, Cincinnati does have a lot more weapons when it comes to the wide receiver core. Obviously good for my fantasy football. Happy about that. Don't think it's very good for the Browns in the division. Wasn't surprised to hear about the trade. Was surprised that the body wasn't cold yet, and I heard it come across. But, yeah, just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, no doubt, and I appreciate the call, Mike. I don't think this is a move of does Joe look better in Cincinnati than he did in Cleveland? Because, again, I think that is going to be the case. It's a valid point to look at it and say, yes, Joe has better weapons now with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think, though, when we get comments, you know, from not the most recent caller, Mike, that we just took, but previously there, where it's like Dave's like, oh, well, he goes out and he leaves the Browns. So, you know, he could be a pro bowler because that's just what when the Browns trade, somebody happens. And it's like,
I also don't think that's necessarily true. Like, that's just living in the fears of being a Browns fan, is that, well, we traded him away now, so now he's going to look great. No, he's going to look like the same player just traded away. He's going to be in a different situation. Nothing's changed on Joe. Like, he's the same quarterback we watched. Yes, Joe is capable of going out there and putting up stats, I think, still in this point. And do I think he was hindered by the Browns' offense? Not an offense that's really set up for Joe in the first place. And then you probably got into his head a little bit by telling him not to turn over the football. Yeah, I think all those things are possible. I still just don't think it unlocks the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, unless this is a move that puts the Bengals in playoff contention and ultimately blocks you out, it just can't be that bad of a move. I care about what happens in Cincy, but guys, it's not like you just traded him the rights to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and be like, oh, well, he could come back. And if he came back, yeah, it would make the Bengals defense a hell of a lot better for time to come. You're trading a 40-year-old that's on a one-year contract. You're 1-4. It would already be a masterclass if you were able to turn this season around and get into a spot to fight for a playoff position. I don't think the Bengals having Joe is going to be the thing that ultimately boxes you out. The Bengals still have to figure it out on their own, and Joe is not the missing piece. If they went out and traded for a quarterback that, you know, you're decently scared of, okay. Again, it feels like we weren't watching the same Joe Flacco for four games, though. Like, I just watched him play on the field behind a bad offensive line. We all watched him try to run and get out of the pocket. I don't think the Bengals are going to be the difference maker here. I think the Bengals season is pretty much down in the dumps right now. They're trying anything they can to save it. Will Joe make them better? Probably, than it was with Jake Browning. Is he going to fix everything? No, certainly not. I don't even know that he makes it better than Jake Browning, if we're being 100% honest. I think mobility there is going to be just as big of an issue as it was in Kevin Stefanski's offense. It's a bad offensive line. But I think you also sort of turn scope here too and realize what this does for the Browns. Because the overall sentiment that I just heard out of you guys was that it's probably a good trade for the Browns and doesn't change all that much inside the room. It ultimately should be the thing you're looking at. And I get it. It's an in-division trade, so you look on the other side as well. But it doesn't change much for you. You get a fifth-round pick back for next year. You trade a six in for a fifth. And it's not like Joe was going to play. But now the Browns go forward. It is about who's going to be QB2. Like, that is a conversation that is important in this. I think it's going to be Shedeur Sanders. I think that is the guy that steps in, and that is the logical step for me, is that you just go, well, you know what, if Dylan gets hurt, if Shador's been studying the offense, he's been doing the right things on the field, he's been getting prepared, we're going to trust that Shador's going to be able to ready to go in that moment. And you have to. Like, and if you are eventually going to turn to Shedeur Sanders, the way that I think a lot of people here rightfully agree should be the case. Like, the idea should be that you go from Dylan to Shedeur and figure out what you have in the rookies. Whatever comes after Shedeur, there's too much time on the clock and he looks terrible. Well, it's up in the air. You can end up playing Deshaun Watson and the season already would probably be a failure at that point. You're just throwing another body out there. Could be Bailey Zappe and what's going to be basically the same scenario. But you have to see the season eventually get to Shedeur if it's not working with Dylan. Tom Pelissero was on the Rich Eisen show earlier on today, and he talked about the possibility of Shedeur being QB2. Is that what this move means?
Well, starting off on Deshaun Watson, he's coming back from two Achilles tears. That's a very long rehab process. Obviously, he's been documenting that on his social media. I have not gotten the sense that anything is imminent in terms of Deshaun Watson getting back on the field. Bailey Zappe's in his second run now on Cleveland's practice squad. But this does really clear the space now that for everybody saying, why isn't Shedeur Sanders the number two quarterback? Well, now here it is, and the expectation would be that he is going to be the one who backs up Dylan Gabriel starting this week, for the Browns. So, you know, with Shedeur Sanders, I know a lot's been made. What are they doing with, you know, having Shedeur and saying that he's going to play eventually? That's always been the plan. Jimmy Haslam flat out said it in training camp, which is they want to see both these guys figure out what they have. And then as we get toward next year and the fact they've got two first-round picks, you at least know, do we think we have something that we can work with here?
And it does feel, again, like the logical plan to go through and actually have. Like, if Joe is not going to get back onto the field, you want Shedeur to move into the QB2 spot. Again, if you didn't feel like he was ready, we made that case last week. If he's not ready, he shouldn't be the backup quarterback. That's the bottom line. Clearly, there's something here. It is the same conversation that we had at the beginning of the year. They made Dylan the backup. They moved on from Kenny. You're telling me Kenny's ready to play football at that moment. He's ready to go. The day you trade Joe Flacco, it should be a celebration for all the Shador supporters. Okay, myself included, because this should be the admission. As soon as we hear Shador Sanders is QB2, which I expect to hear at some point this week, probably, I would imagine, tomorrow, we should have a feeling that, okay, that means Shador Sanders is ready to step on a field. Might not want him to step on a field next week, might not be the desired, but if he has to go step onto the field, he is ready to go. And that would echo the words that Shador had said previously, that he's ready to go, and he feels like, I mean, I don't know that it echoes the fact that he feels like he's better than half the quarterbacks in the NFL right now. But it does, you know, it's not just Shador talking to talk and make headlines then. Then Shador actually is ready. And the Browns feel that if he had to step on a field, he would be in a place where he'd be ready to go. I think this should be, after seeing Joe play for 4 weeks, something that you can sit there and begin to, I don't want to say celebrate, because it's not really a great move for the Browns when we're talking about wins and losses, but it should be something that you should be able to just kind of take a step away from and look and go, this is a good thing for the Browns in their path to getting back on track as a franchise and as a team. Moving into the future, this is going to be something that helps them. You want to get them to a spot where you see the rookie quarterbacks and you actually know what you have for last year. It was my overarching goal of the entire year. The goal should be figure out what you have in quarterback. If you get wins along the way, great. If not, well, this season wasn't exactly set up to win in the first place. Again, still think winning's on the mind. Dylan Gabriel gives you a chance to win. We saw that in London. But hey, this is ultimately setting you up for what's going to come for the weeks and weeks following, which is, if it doesn't work with Dylan, the next move up is getting to go to Shador. 216-474-0092. Should Shador Sanders be QB2 moving forward following the Joe Flacco trade? We're going to get to some of your guys' calls on this. Mike, I see on the line. We're going to get to you as well. The Station Buzz in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volney on The Fan. Should Shador be QB2 moving forward after the Joe Flacco trade? Again, for me, it's like this is the thing that you want to do, right? I think if you want Shador to actually see the field at some point, you eventually got to take the kid's gloves off. You eventually have to say, you know, we drafted you in the fifth round. Doesn't mean you're ultimately ready to go the moment we draft you, but there does come a time where you're going to have to see Shador Sanders. And let's not play around with it and be like, well, they drafted Shador knowing he was going to take an entire year to develop. No, they did not. That was not the thought process when this thing came out. They did not draft Shador with the intention of, oh, we can just let Shador sit for the entire year, and then maybe next year he can have... No, you had 2 first-round picks. You had that by the time that you drafted Shador. You knew there was a chance that there'd be a quarterback coming down the way, and you felt like the value was good to get an opportunity at a quarterback to play for you in 2025. So eventually he's got to be ready. Again, week 6 might be early for that time. I'm not saying he's got to be ready right now to go.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Oh, but if he's not ready now, you're eventually going to have to get to the window where he is. And I think if he's thrust into that spot, then so be it. You're thrust into that spot. Welcome to learning on the fly a little bit. I'm not in the business of trying to ruin Shedeur Sanders, trying to kill his confidence. Doesn't really strike me as a quarterback that's going to have his confidence killed, if we're being 100% honest. He's a confident kid. He's very confident in his abilities in what he's able to do. I don't think a bad game shakes you of that. And we saw Shedeur have a bad game in the preseason. It didn't really feel like there was any less confident. Obviously, we didn't get to see him on the field to see what the effects of that would be. But certainly in the way that he spoke, in the way that he went to work every day, I don't think that there was evidence that Shedeur is any less confident than he was. So again, I want to get you guys in on this. 216-474-0092. Should Shedeur be the QB2 moving forward? Mike is in Stowe. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good evening, Jake. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you, man?
Hanging in there. We need a little rain. We got it, right? That's what it is. I always give the weather at the beginning. I don't know why I do that in my calls, I guess. It is what it is.
It's all right. I look forward to it every time you call, Mike. I do. I look forward. What's our little update? We need a drain. It's all right.
A box with no windows, Jake. I just wanted to say what's going on out here. I'm sad. So, I really appreciate your take on Dylan and Shedeur. And, I'm talking, from the beginning of camp. You've always taken a real, and I'll use the word mature stance on the, I know you like Shedeur and you really want to see him play maybe a little over Dylan, but you don't, go to the steps of, daily ridiculing his height or snickering about, when you see him on TV, how he looks compared to other players and things like that. Like other, people on this radio station have done, which I don't like hearing that because it just, I don't think it's productive. I like the way you stated it. I just wanted to get that out first. But Shedeur definitely should be at number two. We want to evaluate what this whole season's been about. One thing I wanted to get out there, though, is that earlier I was listening, and somebody said, well, if they go 1-5 in the next six games, then Dylan ought to be out of there. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is a bad team. I don't know that record really tells me when Dylan gets yanked. I think it's more about how he's handling things in spite of, our line, our receiving talent, not playing up to what it should be. It doesn't have enough time to get the ball downfield yet. That should develop in weeks to come. But I don't think it's about the record, Jake. I really think it's about how he plays. But there is a time when I want to see Shedeur. I think I'd like to say the sweet spot is right around at least 4 weeks of him playing, towards the end. Let's see him at least a month so he can really kind of get at it. But, That's kind of what I think, and I don't mind the Flacco going. It's not about this season. We're tanking, man. Everybody should know this. And these guys are not in danger of losing a job. I really don't think so. I believe Jimmy signed on for 2 more years with these guys, and, man, Andrew hit the draft pretty darn well. So I think he's done well with some of his early time here. But I do like your take. I really do, as you get on there, and I appreciate it. So have a good evening. Thank you.
Yep, appreciate you making the call as always, Mike.
You bet.
I don't even know that I sit here and I really feel that the Browns are tanking. And I agree with you to some degree. I said it last week that I looked at Dylan Gabriel, and the win this week did not matter to me whether or not or how I was going to evaluate Dylan Gabriel, which we are going to get into, and we'll get into it, Daryl, here at 8 o'clock. It really wasn't win and loss based, but there does come a time where unless Dylan looks undeniably good, like a really good quarterback, which I do not think he looked on Sunday. I thought he looked like a fine quarterback. He did what I expected Dylan to do. If you play and you're 1-5, there's a really good chance that you're probably not playing good enough football to hold on to the job. It won't be a direct reflection of the record, but I don't think you can play 1-5 and go,
okay, well, this is something that we can move forward with. Like, you're going to have one of the top defenses in the NFL. If you have a top-tier defense and all you can get to is 1-5, there's problems there. Like, the offense is bad. It's not that bad. There is still something here on the offense. Pass catching leaves something to be desired, obviously. It's not where you want it to be. But Jerry Jeudy's not god-awful, despite what the stats will tell you right now. He's still a fine wide receiver. David Njoku's still good. Harold Fannin looks really good. You have a strong run game. You shouldn't be 1-5. Especially against the opponents you have coming up. Like, yes, this Pittsburgh game this week is not going to be an easy game. Then you also have games coming up against, like, the Miami Dolphins. That's a winnable game. You have games going up against the Patriots, who look like a good team, but aren't, like, crazy blow-your-socks-off type of good. The Jets are there after the bye. There is time to watch where Dylan Gabriel should be in position to win games. This last week, he was in a position to win a game. Now, I don't think Dylan killed you there. I think there might have been a real case that Kevin and the defense killed you in this week's game. But I just don't know that 1-5 gets you to where you want to be. And it's not a record thing. It's more so turning it back and looking and going, if you were 1-5 and you're Dylan, there's probably things you need to be doing better right now to make you, you know, or make me think that you can be a franchise quarterback and you can be a guy that I want to stick with, not just for this year, but years going forward. Because ultimately, when we talk about evaluation, that's what this is about. As much as you want to get the wins under the belt this year and you want to turn things around, this is ultimately about finding the quarterback of the future. 1-5 with this team is not going to be good enough. This team is not going to get completely flipped on its head next year, and they're going to be a completely transformed offense. You're still going to have a lack of pass catchers. You're still going to have an offensive line that's not going to be a top-tier offensive line in the NFL. You're going to have a lot of guys that you're going to have to replace in that department. So I can't act like, you know, you're just losing games is going to be the thing that, you know, you can just throw it off forever. You can throw it off for a little bit. It just can't be nonstop. Let's go to Paul's in Cleveland. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, what's up? What's up, my man? First of all, yes, Shadur do deserve the to be the backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is my opinion. I think the media is at fault, Cleveland media and all over media. When you talk about Shadur, you talk about him differently than you talk about Gilbert. Gilbert is the starting quarterback, but you just stated out of your mouth that Gilbert played like you expected. But mm-hmm. I'm watching the game, and a lot of people are watching the game. Gilbert, he played all right, but he played like they was playing a exhibition game, preseason game. Little screens, little dump offs, little this, little that. He couldn't go downfield. He airmailed a whole lot of passes because he couldn't see. But now you want to expect Shadur. Now, when he getting there with Stefanski, because he's going to play, is Stefanski going to play do the same thing as he did to Gilbert in his first game? No, because you know why? Because he's going to expect more out of the second string Saunders opposed to the first string Gilbert. And that's just wrong. I hang up and listen.
I appreciate the call, Paul. I almost said the Paul call, which would have been very fitting for that call because Dylan Gilbert is not on this team. I don't know who Dylan Gilbert is. Dylan Gabriel. But your point was still received. It's in at least my reflection. I can't speak for the entirety of Cleveland media. I can't speak for the rest of the people on this station, or certainly not the national media. I'm going to evaluate Shadur the same way that I evaluate Dylan Gabriel. Like, yes, Dylan struggled to air the ball out down the field. He did. I think some of that's probably protecting the football a little bit, where Dylan's putting it in areas where, unless my guy's going to come down with it, let me tell you, he's not coming down with it. Either is the defender in that case. And some of it probably does have to do with the height. Like, there are probably throws down the field where Dylan just can't get the angle on the football that he wants to complete some of those passes. That's a natural thing for it. But it's not like Kevin set Dylan up for pure success. But this is the offense they run. Shador's going to be asked to run the same offense. Shadur was asked to run the same offense in the preseason. Now, were there plays that it looked like Shadur wasn't running the same offense? Yeah, a little bit, but that's more so a product of Shadur running around in the backfield and trying to make things happen more than it was the play call that was out there to him. It's going to be the same expectation for me. When Shadur steps in, I know the offense is going to be running. There's not going to be a ton of shot plays down the field, although probably more than there was with Dylan, just because the arm talent of Shadur allows for a little bit more of that. But it's not like Shador's some, you know, rocket arm quarterback who can just throw the ball 50 yards down the field every play. He's not Justin Herbert. He's not what we thought Joe Flacco really was supposed to be. Like, he is a short to intermediate passer who one of the main reasons I was really high on Shadur coming to the Browns specifically, despite me going through the evaluation and thinking that Cam Ward was a better quarterback.
Like, I do think that if you just look at them for a one-for-one talent when we were in the draft, I thought Cam Ward was a better QB. But when you talk about the Browns offense specifically, Shador did the things that the Browns offense likes to do. Again, that short to intermediate route, he's going to have to work on the run game, going to have to work on being under center, but that's every college kid right now. They all play out of shotgun. Like, you're going to have to work on things, but Shador fit a lot of what Kevin wanted. It's part of the reason I liked him. So it's going to be the same offense. There's going to be higher expectations set on him, I'm sure, by the national media. There's going to be high expectations, I'm sure, set on, you know, even from some people in Cleveland media, maybe right here. Those expectations are not going to be coming from me. The expectation when Shador steps onto the field is, hopefully you show me something. It's going to be exactly the same as Dylan. It's going to be great if you're fine, not going to win you the job. So I'll be happy if you play well. I'm all in on that. You don't show me you can be a franchise quarterback, there's also a very real chance there's somebody being drafted next year that's going to step in and take your job, and you're not going to have a say about it. So you're going to have to prove it. Dylan didn't prove franchise quarterback or anything this week. He proved that he was fine. He met expectations in my eyes. He was right there along the line. Just wasn't a ton to it. Again, 216-474-0092. Jeff is in Menard. Jeff, should Shador be QB2 this week?
Well, I mean, he is, and by default. So whether he should be or shouldn't be, he is by default. And, you know, I think you guys are really overthinking the Flacco trade. The Browns didn't look at our quarterback room and say, okay, we got two rookies that are ready to play. Let's trade Flacco. Flacco came to the Browns and said, I'm 40 years old. I'm not sitting on the bench on this loser team. Trade me and, you know, do me a favor and trade me. I think the Browns accommodated him. I think it's simple as that. I don't think the Browns were looking to get anything out of this trade. What it did do is free up Gabriel and Shador, you know, to play, which was the goal from day one, I think, this year anyway. But the Browns, what they lost in this trade was a veteran in the quarterback room. And by doing that, the Browns are saying, we don't care about development. We don't care about winning this year. Or we'd have kept our Flacco in the quarterback room as a senior quarterback, an experienced guy that can teach these two rookies, of all things, how to play the position. So I just think that's what all this came down to.
Yeah, and Jeff, I don't think that you're out of your mind by any means. I appreciate the call. Like, I think there's a very real chance that we're looking at this, and Joe probably did want out. He might have expressed that. I mean, we don't have that report here right now. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Joe said, hey, guys, I'm 40. If you could go ahead and trade me, I'd appreciate it if you could. Yeah, I'm all in on that, right? Joey would make a lot of sense coming from his camp. I think sometimes that the veteran quarterback in the room thing is completely overblown. They've been here with Joe since the very beginning of them being drafted up until this point. It's not like Joe sitting there and being the guy with the clipboard and sitting down with them every day and going, okay, guys, this is how you run the offense. He's not a teacher. End of the day, that comes on Kevin Stefanski. That's Tommy Rees. That's Bill Musgrave. Those are the guys that you have to turn to and go, okay, you're the ones responsible for developing the quarterbacks. I don't leave that on Joe. That's not his job. Joe should have been able to show them by example, not even necessarily by word, this is how you run the quarterback room. This is how you act as a quarterback in the NFL. It's how you get prepared for the game days. He got benched. Dylan's a starter. Dylan needs to be ready to do those things anyway. As much as I love the development of the kids and I want to see them succeed, I don't think Joe's a difference maker in that room. He's told us, I'm not a guy that sat here to develop the young quarterbacks. I'm here to play football. Which, again, big reason why it makes a lot of sense if he requested a trade. I think, though, if it comes down to the Browns need to leave Joe there to develop them, well, they're not doing their jobs in the first place anyway. It's supposed to be on your head coach to develop your quarterback. It's supposed to be on your offense coordinator and your quarterback's coach to be able to know how to do those things. That is entirely just in their job description, whether your quarterback is 25 or 23 like Dylan and Shador, or if your quarterback is 29 or 33, your job is to get them to play the position better and understand it better every single year inside of the offense. Got to trust that the guys in the room can do that, and if they can't, then they probably shouldn't have a job. All right, let's leave that there. When we come on back, our very own Cleveland sports beat reporter Daryl Ryder is going to help us break it all down, and we'll get back to talking Browns on the other side. It's all coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.